Joining us now is Peter Ducey, Fox News Channel's White House correspondent. And Peter, great to have you back.
Good to be back, guy. Thanks for having me.
Well, we have been trying to piece together the timeline of this Lloyd Austin situation and then all the explanations or lack thereof that we have witnessed over the last couple of days. It's very confusing. Based on the current version of events, can you just tell us roughly what the official, for now, timeline is on all of this?
So, roughly December 22nd, early December, he finds out that he's got prostate cancer. Doesn't tell anybody. December 22nd, he goes in for a procedure at a hospital. We don't know which hospital. Doesn't tell anybody that he's going under general anesthesia, so he's going to be unconscious. And then a week and a half later, January 1st, he is in horrible pain with what turns out to be a UTI and some further side effects that are making him very uncomfortable, takes an ambulance to Walter Reed, doesn't tell anybody. While he's at Walter Reed on Saturday, he talked to President Biden. President Biden wanted to know why he was in the hospital. He wanted to know what was going on. At no point during that conversation did Lloyd Austin tell his boss, the president, that he has prostate cancer and that that's why he is in the hospital. And then President Biden doesn't find any of this out until just before the public did yesterday. And yet, White House officials are fine with the Pentagon's explanation that we weren't transparent enough. The person who was going to notify the public had the flu. We will do better next time. So we are not expecting an imminent change in the leadership at the Defense Department.
Okay, so we can come back to that, but let's just go each step of the way. And I feel like whenever we discuss this, we have to say that we're rooting for Secretary Austin and his health and his family, and apparently the prognosis is very good, which is great. All that said, let's talk about the first procedure. There was some surgery. You said he was put under. He was under general anesthesia in late December before Christmas for whatever this surgery was related to the cancer diagnosis. Do we know if his duties were delegated, his authority delegated for a period of time? Because I know in the chain of command, for example, if the president is going to be incapacitated for any period of time, there's a whole process that's in place to make sure that, God forbid, something happened, the chain of command was intact. Do we know if anything like that happened the first time he went under for a surgery last year?
It doesn't sound like it. And again, you know, a lot of these White House officials, they seem like they know that this is a problem. And yet, what are they going to do about it? They're saying, we didn't know, can't address a problem that we don't know about. And now it happened. And President Biden isn't really somebody that fires anybody ever.
Right.
And so that's not what's going to happen here.
Okay, so moving ahead, it's now New Year's Day. He's got this terrible pain. It was so bad and I guess so urgent that he was rushed in an ambulance to the hospital. That's not like, oh, you know what, honey, this doesn't feel right. Let's drive over there. He was traveling in an ambulance. You said that, right?
That's right.
Okay, that seems like kind of another very serious element to this. We still didn't know that he had gone through any of this, that he was now hospitalized for a second time. He was hospitalized for days. We know that his deputy was given some of the authorities, although she didn't apparently know why, while she was on vacation in Puerto Rico. And now I'm just kind of mystified and confused by Saturday. So we found out about this. This finally went public late last week. So Biden then gets his defense secretary on the phone on Saturday and they discuss the situation. In what world, Peter, is it possible that the president would say, well, gosh, you're in the hospital. Why? And this high-ranking government official, like, either wasn't asked that specific question or avoided it or lied? Like, what happened there? Like, to me, just a normal human being thing to do would be for Joe Biden to be on the phone with the defense secretary and say, wow, we just found out you've been in the hospital for days. Number one, you should have told us what's going on here. Why are you there? How is it possible that that detail was not shared until yesterday, right before the whole public found out. It just makes no sense to me.
Kirby says that they asked all the questions that a fact-finding group would ask as soon as they heard that Austin was in the hospital, and they were not told that it was this serious. They weren't told anything about cancer or about general anesthesia, nothing. And
how is that possible? Wouldn't that be unacceptable?
And what I can't wrap my head around is, okay, the defense secretary didn't tell anybody, so the president and his crew didn't know about it. Great, we know that. But it's not like nobody knew. The defense secretary travels with security detail that has drivers, that has armed guards. He's at a hospital, a huge medical facility in Bethesda, where he is in charge. He's everybody there's boss.
Right.
Presumably people would know that the defense secretary is there, probably in a suite designated just for the defense secretary when he is in when he's there for any reason. And so it's not like it is not credible for the Pentagon to tell us that nobody knew. Like, it's just not possible. He is not somebody that can sneak around.
Yeah, no, that is another thing that doesn't add up. And I keep coming back to it. Let's say it is true that he kept basically everyone out of the loop on this until it somehow came out publicly. And Peter, just to jump in here on my own question, I saw some reports that the White House is saying that they had to basically force the Pentagon and Austin's team to put out a statement. Like, they were still not going to put anything out until the White House said, well, now you have to say something. Have you heard that as well?
I have heard that. I've seen that report. They would not touch it here today. I think just out of respect that John Kirby has for his former colleagues over at the Pentagon press shop.
Okay, but like, the respect, I get that. It only goes so far. If the White House feels compelled to tell basically underlings in the government, hey, this is a big thing, you have to say something, when their plan apparently was to still say nothing, that blows my mind. And then also for the White House to say you have to put out a statement while the White House still doesn't actually know what was going on. Like, this is what I keep hanging up on. The president, according to their story, the president spoke to Lloyd Austin on Saturday, and not until Tuesday did Joe Biden know the reason why his Secretary of Defense was secretly in the hospital for days, even though they spoke in between the hospitalization starting and the information getting to the president that it's prostate cancer. Would that just be Lloyd Austin refusing to answer a question or misleading the president again? Because they had told some people he was working from home. I mean, that is absolutely untrue. I just don't understand why they aren't more ticked off about this in the White House, why this does not qualify, evidently in their minds, as an extremely serious breach of trust and judgment to the point that they would at least make a few noises about accountability, because they're not doing that. They're like circling the wagons completely for this guy and his whole team.
Completely. And it's tough because Lloyd Austin has been dealt a tough hand. Prostate cancer is a terrible diagnosis, and everybody feels badly for him. But that's not what the issue is here. It's with the whole apparatus of the Department of Defense misleading the rest of the chain of command at a time that U.S. troops are under fire in the Middle East. And, these people, these troops, men and women, brave men and women who signed up to serve their country, they have families here in the United States who want to think that everybody in the Defense Department, in the chain of command, is looking out for their loved ones' well-being
right
at all times. And we know that that is just not possible the way that this timeline is. If there was some attack while Lloyd Austin was in an ambulance, no matter what they say at the White House, it would have been tough for him to respond in real time. And I get that Kirby says President Biden was in charge of the military at all times. He had command authority at all times. That's great. Lloyd, if the position of defense secretary is important, which it is, they cannot minimize it the way that they have been.
Another question I would have, and I've only seen bits and pieces of the briefings, so maybe this has been asked explicitly, but when they rush to say that the secretary's job is not in jeopardy at all, there has been no even inkling that Biden might be considering requesting, you know, resignation, that's just not even in the realm of possibility. Has anyone asked why? Like, why is that not even something that's been thought of, given the fact pattern here? Is the way that this went down acceptable to the president? If it were to happen again from some other cabinet secretary, would that, again, just not be grounds for potential termination? What is their justification for basically saying this is not that big of a deal when everyone involved seems to intuitively understand, at least on some level, it's a big deal?
All right, the justification is to take a little bit of responsibility by saying that they know it's not optimal that this happened, but then just to say this is, the Pentagon has to work on their own credibility. We are going to focus on what we're doing, which today was like not even what they wanted to talk about. Today was mostly Hunter Biden.
Yeah, Hunter Biden and his little performance on Capitol Hill. You did ask a series of questions of John Kirby yesterday. It got a little heated. It seemed like he got flustered there a bit. At one point, he called you bub. He said, give me a second here, bub. Did you get the sense that he was flustered? Because usually he's a relatively cool cucumber.
I didn't think that he was flustered. I have a good relationship with Kirby off camera, too. And I think he just wanted to make sure that I was going to let him make his point. And I did. Lots of questions. But, he had some things that he wanted to say. And I let him answer it, and then I had some further questions. But Bub, I think, is like something that you call it must be like a military term, right? He's a military guy. It must be something like that.
Okay. Yeah, it's better than stupid SOB, that's for sure. Last question, Peter Ducey. You, I'm sure, saw the report. A lot of us talked about it here in town in particular, because you were talking all about Kirby, a name that hasn't come up yet at all is Karine Jean-Pierre, who's technically the actual press secretary for this president in this White House. There was that report that there's some maybe not bad blood, but some tension there. The fact that he's out there briefing as often as he is, where she almost seems sometimes like a sidekick and he may have his eyes on this larger prize. Do you get that sense at all? I know there were some sort of rote denials of that, but you're in that room every day. I know reporters see him a lot, given what her job title is. What do you make of that? Is that overblown or is that a thing?
The sense that I get is that there might be like a friendly rivalry there, but they do different enough things that I don't know that they're after each other's jobs, right? Like Kirby, his specialty is to talk about foreign policy. There's nobody in Washington on really either side who can explain the way that things are supposed to work like he can. He is a master at explaining the levers of the Pentagon and the State Department. So he does that, but he's not really somebody that talks about the domestic stuff. That's Karine's strength. And so I get a sense that there is, they both work for the president. Kirby came in only 2 weeks after Karine started. And so I'm sure that there was, like this report said, some confusion about, hey, I just started. Why is there a new spokesman coming on board? But I don't think that these two are like trying to kill each other behind the curtain. I don't get that sense.
Yeah, interesting to know. Maybe a little palace intrigue might be a little overblown. Just had to ask because it definitely got some tongues wagging in D.C. like, oh, trouble in paradise. And it is notable how often he is up at that podium. But your explanation does make some sense to me. Peter Ducey, White House correspondent here at Fox News. It's been a very interesting week. It might get more interesting because I feel like this isn't over because there's too much that just doesn't make any sense. They're going to try to move on. We'll see if the press corps goes along with it. But good, tough questions being asked by a number of folks, including Peter. Always appreciate it, sir. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Guy. Talk to you soon.
You bet. That's Peter Ducey on the Guy Benson Show. I just have to say one thing editorially, not attributing this at all to Peter. he was very diplomatic in that answer about Kirby and Jean-Pierre. And he's got a job to do. He deals with both of them, and I understand, and I think he's a straight shooter in his analysis. I think he was also extremely generous when he said that talking about domestic issues is Corrine's, quote, strength. It is certainly her job. Whether it is her strength, I guess, is for other people to decide. I think you might get a sense of where I come down on that.